to be joined by Robin Stapps from The Ocean and my partner in crime, who, before we started recording, Robin, who did you say he looked like?
Devin Townsend, quite cool. Yeah, you didn't tell me that he's going to join the podcast, so my pleasure.
Oh, literally, we could just end this here. I'm so happy we've got that.
I'm sure you've heard that before. I'm not the first idiot saying that. Cracking that joke.
Listen, Robin, thanks so much for joining us. It's much appreciated. Before we
start
recording, we had a little chat just saying how much, like, myself and Benny, like, love Pelagic Records and your band especially. So it's great to have you here. It's much appreciated. And, I mean, your new album, Holocene's, out in a month, something like that?
Yep.
I remember reading an interview, and you were quoted as saying at the time, it was your best album to date, Phanerozoic 2. Do you still stand by that?
I guess that's a thing you will always repeat when you release a new record. Otherwise, you should just stop playing music or recording music if you weren't saying that. So I will revoke that statement here and, of course, say that Holocene is the best record we've done. But that's always obviously very subjective. Right now, those songs already feel old to us because we've been putting so much time into recording and mixing and, you know, like the whole artwork project, which took well over a year. So it feels like we're really tired of these tracks before we even started playing them. Yes, that lies in the nature of things. But yeah, no, I'm very happy and very proud of this record. I think it's different in many ways, but it still has that oceanic vibe to it that all of our other records, including even the older ones, always had somehow. And yeah, it's been very exciting making this record and also approaching it in a bit of a different way than the other ones. So yeah, clearly for me, best album ever, best album to date.
is it as much as a painstaking process as you're making it out to be, though, when you make a new record for The Ocean? Like, because obviously the art is something very important to you, and, you know, art is obviously subjective as well. So is it a lot of painstaking effort to make an album?
The writing process itself, not at all. It's usually something very intuitive and very quick. Like this album was written together with another record, actually, that we have not started recording yet, but it's fully written and pre-productions are made. Both of these records were written over the course of maybe like 4 to 6 weeks like at the end of 2020. So I'm pretty quick. Once I'm in the zone, I'm pretty quick with writing, but it's a weird process for me because I don't write like continuously throughout the year. I don't write on tour. I also don't write when I get home. I have to really get into the zone, and that usually takes a few days in which I feel like a disabled person trying to learn how to walk. And then after a couple of days, I'm in the zone, and then it goes very smoothly and very quickly. It was like that here as well. But then everything that comes after it is painstakingly slow and just takes a lot of time, especially for this album, especially the whole artwork project. We basically wanted the artwork also to represent the fact that this album is a bit of a departure album for us, and that it has a bit of a modern feel. It was very difficult to represent that without looking like a tech or prog band, you know, which we really didn't want to. And so we had drafts for artwork done, which we completely rejected and started from scratch over and over again, and until we found the direction that we wanted to pursue here. And there have been two people involved, Martin Kwamme, whom we've been working with for many years, and also Stefan Alt, whom I know through the collaboration with Lustmord on that collaborative box set we released last year via Pelagic, with a lot of other artists participating. And it was really cool and very fruitful creative collaboration with those guys, but it just took forever, and we really wanted to explore how far we could go packaging wise and also with the different printing techniques. Very filigree metallic foil is part of this artwork and die cuts, and that just took forever. So it's like the actual writing music it worked pretty quick, then recording it properly and getting everything else done, that's what takes time. But it's also a fun process. I mean, I'm exaggerating here when I say it was painstakingly slow. It was slow, but good things just take time, you know, and it's a pleasure working on an album for me. Always has been and still is. And I love what I do. And it's a fucking privilege to be able to do this and to put your time into this, you know. And then once you get it and hold it in your hands, which is actually going to happen this week, I think, the special editions, then you're just like, wow, it's like, it feels like Christmas and birthday together. So I'm still a child in that regard. I just love it.
Sorry, Benny, before I let you answer your question, just one more thing. Which do you prefer, Robin? Do you prefer the writing and recording the music, or do you prefer the artwork side of it? Which do you prefer these days?
Both are very important sides of the same coin, essentially. And not just that, also like, you know, touring and then recording and being home or being on tour. It's like all these things. Like if someone asks me, what do I prefer? I honestly can't say. I need both. I need to tour in order to appreciate coming home. Otherwise I would get bored. And I also need a home, you know, to obviously wind down and relax and regenerate after a destructive tour, which it always is. So yeah, and with recording and touring, it's the same thing. Once you've toured a lot, like we have in the past 12 months, I think we've played about 155 shows or something like that. So it's almost every other day of the year. Once you get home from a tour like that, you're just exhausted and like emotionally and physically just exhausted and drained. And then it feels great focusing on recording music and, you know, sitting down and doing something behind a computer rather than playing shows every night. But when you've been in the studio for too long and you can't hear the tracks anymore, you're just dying to get out on the road again. So it's like, it's this balance that I really appreciate and that I really need. And this partially nomad life is very appealing to me personally, but it also only works if you have like a home station to, you know, to dock onto when you get back. So both is quite important.
Good stuff. Robin, you mentioned a couple of times already during the interview, you've mentioned that this latest album, The Holocene, is a little bit different to your previous work. You've called it a departure. We've had the record for a couple of weeks, and we think in general that the best bands do change up and diversify their sound, and it's a sign of creativity and that bands aren't standing still. Could you tell us a little bit about what is different about this album and how you've got to this point?
Sure. Well, first and initially, the writing process of this record was different from pretty much any previous record in that it's not been written by myself alone, but it's all been based on, it's all based on synth ideas by our synth player Peter. So he sent me those sketches in the fall of 2020, and I felt inspired by them, and you know, immediately wanted to add guitars and drums and other stuff to it. And this is how the writing process started. And within a couple of days, we had a really good creative exchange between the two of us. And by the end of it, we had this record. And at first, we didn't even know if it was going to be an Ocean record or something else, some side project. And by the end of it, we realized that it did have this Ocean vibe, and that it was going to be the new Ocean album, but it wasn't planned for. It was really an album that came out of the blue, basically. So in that way, for me, it was different because for the first time, I wasn't really working with like starting a song as a blank page, but working with something that someone else had already come up with. And that was really inspiring and interesting for me to be kind of like tied down to something that was already there. And at the same time, yeah, be able to thrive off of that, you know, and let yourself be taken to places. That was really cool. And yeah, obviously it's quite synth dominated because it's all based on Peter's ideas, and he's the synth guy in the band. So in that, it's already different from most of our other records. But at the same time, I think it connects well with the second half of Phanerozoic 2, where we were already going a bit in that direction with tracks like Oligocene or Holocene, the last track on the record, which then also became the title of the new album. And that's also how we ended up there. Conceptually, because like it wasn't planned for it to do another album on this paleontology earth history concept thread. It was just that we started writing this record that nobody saw coming, and then we realized that it connects really well with the end of Phanerozoic 2, which ended with the track Holocene, and then we decided to dive a little deeper into the Holocene epoch and make another record, basically. Yeah, and other than that, I think what's really special about this record is that we realized when we had to pick singles that it was really hard to find tracks that are representative of the album. And I think none of the singles we picked is actually representative of the album as a whole. And I think that's a great thing, actually, because it shows that this album has a dynamic that stretches beyond the individual tracks, but that only really works when you listen to it in one go, or when when you don't isolate certain tracks and moments. Like the first really heavy riff comes in Atlantic, which is track 4 of the record. So it takes like 20 minutes or something to get to that point. And yes, you can skip to track 4 and it will also work on its own, but it's a lot more impactful when you listen to the first 3 tracks and then you slowly get up to that point. So I think that's something that we only realized afterwards, that for me, it was clear from the beginning that the tracks had to come in that order, but only once we had the album compiled and the track list compiled, we were really becoming aware of the fact that it's really like a consecutive piece of music, a continuous piece of music.
I think that's a really good point, because I had heard the singles, and when I had listened to the album in its entirety, I was really surprised and pleasantly surprised that it wasn't what I was expecting, even having heard the single. So I think that's a really valid comment that you've made. Joey, do you mind if I ask about Unconformities? Because I think this is an incredible track, and it does feel quite different to what the Ocean have done before, but it's really stands out to me as an incredible piece on a really great album. Would you mind talking to us about that track in particular?
Sure. Yeah, that track. That track was kind of a difficult for one for us to tackle vocally. Like I had certain ideas for that I explored with Loic, and it wasn't really working out the way we had in mind, and we tried a few different things, and in the end we were like, this is let's try something else for this track. And that was the moment when Karen came in. I know Karen for years through Arabrot and releasing her solo records via Pelagic, and I've been wanting to do something with her for a long time. She has an incredible one in a million type of voice that is like you can really recognize very easily, and that I could imagine could work very well within the context of what we do musically. And so I asked her, and she was up for it. And I sent her the track and the rough outline of what this album is about. And she basically took over herself from that moment on and came up with the vocals and also the lyrics for this track. And when we heard it, we were instantly hooked. It was just magic. It just worked incredibly well. It was very different from the ideas that I had for the track, which we discarded in the end anyways, because they weren't really doing what we needed to be done for this track. And Karen figured that out in a very different way, and it instantly resonated with us. So this is how a good collaboration with a guest musician or guest vocalist should be, ideally, you know, that you just send them the track and you trust that it's going to end up amazing. And that's exactly what happened here. I didn't see this coming, and everyone I've played to, I've played this track to before the album was released, every one of my friends that really knows the band was like, holy shit, this is something really, really different. And at the same time, like probably the best track you've ever done. I'm not sure about that. It's a very weird track. Also the whole evolution happening over the course of those 9 minutes, you know, it ends in a very different place than the beginning. But I'm very happy with the result, and I do agree it's one of the most outstanding tracks of this record for sure, and probably of our discography so far. And it's a combination that just works really well. The Ocean with Karen Park.
Yeah, Jerry, just before you jump in, I just wanted to talk about a nice moment of kind of synergy that I had in that a couple of years ago, I was listening to you speak on a podcast. I think it was one of the Damnation podcasts, and you were talking about some of the Pelagic records and other records that you're really hyped about. And you talked about the Crown record, and that album really stuck with me. I really, really got into it. It's that really heavy, dark, synthy sound. But the final track on that album featured Karen Park and was, again, a real big standout on that album. And there's a real nice kind of circle forming in that this latest album from you guys is much more synth-led. It's obviously, you're a massive part of it. It features Karen Park. It features the synth. So it was a really nice kind of bit of synergy and that track in particular in the middle of it.
Yeah, to draw the circles even closer, the way the collaboration between Crown and Karen Park happened was because Stefan from Crown was the sound guy for The Ocean on the tour that we did with Aurabrot. So that's how they got to meet, and that's how that came about initially. But yeah, the Ocean has toured with Aurabrot in 2018, I believe it was. And on that tour, they were playing also some sets where it was just Kjetil and Karen, the two of them, playing Die Nibelung, or like a rather free interpretation of that record, which we released. And that performance, like during those shows, Karen was a lot more in the spotlight with her vocals than she usually is in Aurabrot, where she's mainly doing backing vocals. And that was also when I realized, like, this woman is really out of this world, you know, like in every aspect. And it slowly forged a desire in me to have her guest on an Ocean track. And now 5 years later, we could finally make it happen. So I'm very happy with that. And I love that track she did with Crown as well. It's just the perfect match in a different way also, you know, but it's really the highlight of that record for me, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke, Venny, you're a sucker for male and female duets. And although it's not technically that, like, obviously, I mean, the track is just like yin and yang, almost like you said at the end, like the way it ends is just ferocious, I think, is probably the only way, not to give too much away, but to ruin the album. But it's a great track.
You bring up a good point there, because one thing we did not want to do is to have that male-female kind of like duet or dual vocals type of approach, you know, where Loic and her would be singing together. We wanted to have it like intentionally separated, you know, to give her the space over the first half of the track to do her thing, with multiple voices as well. There's like lots of backing vocals going on, but it's all Karen. And then for the second half of the song to completely contrast that with the harshest side of Loic's performance, who could obviously also have done clean vocals, but we wanted that to be very extreme yin and yang, you know, extremely different. And I think that's what gives this track a certain intensity, because it's really going through very different spheres. And the end, like it ends in a place where you would never expect it to end when you listen to the beginning of the track. And I think that's one of its greatest qualities there.
And I think that's true about the album as well. Like you said, like it's not until track four, Atlantic, where you sort of hear the first heavy riff and the opening track. And it's sort of like builds and just comes into this massive crescendo of that heavy. But I'm not going to spoil it because it's one of my favorite parts of the record. But sorry. So in terms of Karen, this song, I mean, playing live, this track particularly, any thoughts on that?
Well, we're only starting now to slowly plan playing this album live. You know, like not just that track, but like the whole record, or like the starting to think about the touring cycle that's going to start this fall. And we haven't started rehearsing yet, so we're at the very beginning. It's kind of weird sometimes because we learn and forget an album like two or three times throughout the process of making it. Like you first learn it when you make the pre-productions, basically. That's when you start figuring out the guitar parts and like all the, you know, the things that I do. And then I forget about all that. And then until the moment when we start actually recording it in the studio, which is often like months later, sometimes years later. And then you relearn it and you record it finally in its final form, and then you forget it again because more time passes until you actually release the record. So between the recordings of Holocene and the release, and once we finally start touring, there's also more than a year. So now we're gonna have to relearn those tracks a third time actually, and make them like work on the live set. And this is what we're gonna start with in June. Now only we're gonna start touring in October. And I don't think we will play the record in its entirety anytime soon. I would love to do that at one point for a special event, maybe even for a tour later. But for now, we will pick a couple of tracks and play a mixed set on the upcoming tour, where we will also play some older tracks, but some tracks we haven't played on the recent tours. So that's the idea for now. I think the album obviously will work very well to play it in its entirety because, like I said before, I think this is how the songs really develop their strength. It's kind of clear for us that the first four tracks are going to be the beginning of the live show in one go, and then we will probably switch to something older for this upcoming tour. And Unconformities, obviously, I don't think if it makes sense to play that track without Karen. I mean, like it's just so distinct. Her voice is so distinct and so special and so unique. Even if Loic could technically totally sing that in his own in his octave range and, you know, in the realms of his voice, I'm not sure if that would work. I'm not saying it doesn't, but we haven't really thought about it. So it might be a track that we keep for special occasions when we can actually bring out Karen. And you know, do not play it live apart from that, but we haven't really started thinking about that. It's a track I definitely want to play live at one point. I think it's made to be played live with good sound and good lighting on a big stage, so hopefully we'll get the chance to do that under the right circumstances.
I mean, when you were talking about there the big stage and everything, Roadburn Festival instantly sprung to mind, being a place where you'd have that sort of environment, and Roadburn's that sort of festival where all these collaborations work. So perhaps I'm not putting words in Roadburn's mouth to book you for the festival, but
talk to Walter. I'd be very happy. I just got back from Roadburn this weekend actually, and yeah, it's obviously the by far the most interesting festival in Europe there is currently. Not to discredit Arctangent, where we have 13 bands this year, so we'll also definitely be around there. And of course, Dunk as well. There's a lot of great festivals, but Roadburn is really something different and something unique, a great place to discover new music for us, also for Pelagic every year, including this year. And yeah, we've played it with The Ocean actually in 2013, and we've done a special streamed set during the pandemic for Roadburn Redux, the digital version of the festival in 2020, I believe, 2021 it was. And yeah, of course, it that would be a great setting to do it, but nothing is planned at this stage, and we'll see where we end up.
Well, we're both going to Arctangent, so we're looking forward to seeing you. So we were trying to get the inside scoop on the set list, but obviously you've kept it close to your chest. We'll move on. I don't want to go on about Pelagic Records because we're talking about your band, The Ocean, but obviously the two are very closely connected for obvious reasons. I mean, this year alone, you've released or due to release, you had Low, The Gleaners that came out, which we talked about previously, Herod, and their new album's out in June, is it? May or June?
Just about now, pretty much, yeah.
Is it? Sorry, my dates were wrong. And then obviously you've got yourself. But in the past, I mean, the bands you've got on the label, you know, like Woo, Hypnope, LLN, which we discussed, incredible roster. I just wonder, with all these great bands that are coming through and you writing new music, does it push you harder? Does it sort of make you a bit...
I'm sorry, I missed the last part of your question.
Sorry, like with all these bands coming through, like does it push you harder as a band writing with all these great bands coming through?
You mean with a label or with what we do with a label?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I mean, I think we have pretty high standards towards ourselves and our bands, and we have to turn down a lot of bands I would actually like to do because I think they're great just for lack of time and the schedule being very, very full. So we have to make a lot of difficult decisions there, but every single band that we have released over the years is a band we 100% stand behind. And I think the diversity is quite large between a band like LLNN on the super heavy side and a record like People Used to Live Here by Spook the Horses, for example, on the very quiet side. But this is what really represents where we stand as a label and what we listen to also ourselves, you know. And so it's very hard to pick certain releases and say I like these more than others, like choosing your favorite children. All of them are something we like love a lot, you know, and that's why we decided to release them in the first place. And yeah, I mean, we always push ourselves with everything, with packaging and with music. And of course, I also get inspiration for The Ocean from listening to the records we release and the bands that we work with, you know. And that's great. I mean, we're all operating in the same narrow niche world of music, and everything is very connected. And that's a great thing. And it's great to find inspiration in records of the you know that we release ourselves and bands that we closely work with. So it's a great thing that we have this kind of like very compact little realm between everything we do with Pelagic.
Benny, do you want to say something, mate?
Yeah, I mean, just on that note, really, listening to you speak on podcasts before, you've given some great recommendations, The Crown, End of All Things being one of them as a standout example. Could you give us another recommendation or two from the roster that we may not have heard of, or even someone who's not on your roster?
Absolutely. I will start with a roster for some cheap self-promotion, of course. No, like, we have a lot of very exciting releases coming up this year. One that I'm particularly looking forward to is actually an album that's already been released in 2016 by a French band called Love Sex Machine. I've been a huge fan of that album and have written them plenty of times, begging them to release it on Pelagic and never had a reply. And now they finally approached us that they're working on a new album, which we're going to release in early 2024. And on the occasion of this, we're also reissuing their 2016 album titled Asexual Anger, in August. And that's a record that any fan of the like very heavy side of what we do will love. I'm 100% sure. It's like it's groovy, it's heavy, it's complex, it's slow for the most time, but at the same time ferocious, and it's just an incredible album. And I'm very happy to have that in our catalog now. So that's like our August release that I'm very much looking forward to. Before that, we have an incredible band from St. Louis called The Gorge. They're all session jazz musicians, but this is their heavy project as well. And it's incredible musicianship, which is very technical and versed, but at the same time, always very musical and no show off wanking, just like incredible musicians playing heavy music. And that record is really, really special. I was introduced to them by Sasha from Intronaut years ago, when he was raving about them being a support act for Intronaut. And I was like, oh, I'll check that out. And then I was blown away. We had them as opening act on a US tour we did with The Ocean in 2016. And since then, I've been waiting for this record. And here it is. It comes, it's called Mechanical Fiction, comes out in June. And so much good stuff coming out. There's the new Aura Brut record coming out in October, which is incredible. Produced by Elaine Johannes. It's like they're by far their best album to date, if you ask me. And I'm very much looking forward to that. We have a band called Spurf from Norway releasing a new album through us in September. That is also one of my personal highlights of the year. It's super epic post-rock for fans of anything between Godspeed You Black Emperor and Russian Circles, and more like heavy instrumental music. This is definitely an album to watch out for. There's also some tracks with Norwegian vocals, female vocals, which are really beautiful. And that is definitely one of my personal highlights to look forward to. And before that, now we have the Jigong album, which is Dam, the drummer from Mono, collaborating with Reto from Sum of R. It's a really cool, krauty, psychedelic record that's coming out also in June. And we just released the John Connor and the Devil's Trade collaboration from Roadburn last year. John Connor is Rasmus and Ketil from LLNN, the two brothers, collaborating with different artists. So last year they collaborated with the Devil's Trade. This year they also did a set at Roadburn where they had four vocalists from the Danish hardcore scene delivering vocals. So they do very different projects. And last year's set at Roadburn totally blew us away. It was really the best, like the synth moments of LLNN minus the guitars and the drums combined with David from the Devil's Trade's very unique vocals. So that's just a match that is really, really unique and works incredibly well. So we just released that live album from Roadburn last year. And I could go on forever. There's a lot more coming out. There's a new Bear record coming towards the end of the year, which is really good. There's a new Sava record coming probably in November. There's a new Brickville record coming out. Also, one of my favorite heavy instrumental bands that is not post-rock, but like super heavy instrumental stuff. And of course, the JJL record coming out in July. This is also a record I'm really looking forward to and very happy that we got to sign him. I've been a huge fan for years. No Trails is one of those records I just listened to a lot throughout the pandemic. And the new record is a bit more uplifting than that one and quite different from what else we do with Pelagic this year. But it's an incredible record and I'm very much looking forward to the release of this. We basically just started with a hot album campaign phase for that record. Yeah. And you already mentioned the Low record that just came out and the Herod record. Those are just fresh out. You will get to see a lot of these bands at Arctingent this year. So watch out for that. I think we have 13 bands on the bill. Not sure if I already mentioned that. So we will definitely be present. We're also playing with The Ocean. And it's one of my favorite weekends of the year. It's going to be really looking forward to that. We will unfortunately miss the Thursday, I believe, because we play another festival in Hungary with The Ocean, but we'll be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So
you'll be there for my set headlining on Saturday night then.
What's that?
You'll be there for my set headlining on Saturday night then.
Exactly. I'll watch you, Devin.
Jerry's face. took a little while to process.
So confused. I was like, yeah. Who's this band? Myself.
You don't mind a little bit of fanboying, do you?
I'll make sure my head's properly shaved, ready for the occasion.
Yeah. Looking pretty good, yeah.
Robin, thank you for those recommendations. We know, like, it'd be great to work through some of those, and we know coming from Pelagic, there is a certain standard that I know those records will upheld. So yeah, thanks very much for that homework. That will be good stuff to work through.
Sure, my pleasure.
Well, listen, Robin, thank you so much for your time. It's been great chatting to you. We will hopefully meet you at our tangent at some point and share a beer, and you can get his autograph while you're there, whatever, you want to get a photo with him.
Yeah, man, sounds good.
But yeah, sincerely, thanks so much, and best of luck with the album release in a month's time, maybe, something like that.
Yeah.
The new album, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon, but thanks again so much. Much appreciated.
All right. Thank you, guys. Nice talking to you, and see you at Octogen.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Take care.